Well, it's good to see you here, and I think you've enjoyed these songs as much as I have today. I tell you, it's been good. Yeah, I kind of get pumped singing those wonderful songs about the love of Jesus and how He loves us, not just now, but forever. That's exciting stuff, isn't it? That's good. I love it. I love it. I love it. Well, let's pray and see what God has to say to us from His Word today. Father, thank you so much for these sweet people who are here with us today. And thank you for the tears, and thank you for the songs, and thank you for reminding us of how much you love us. And thank you for my wonderful wife who leads us so beautifully to praise and worship you. And thank you for this little keyboard that we can use to just worship you. And thank you that you've given us a little bit of voice so we can just lift it up to you. And we pray that now, as we turn our attention to your word, that we will be good listeners, that we will hear what you have to say to us, and they will find strength and encouragement and peace and joy and just a sense of your presence and your control in our lives. And Lord, I pray that we'll just be refreshed and renewed as we get back into your word and let you speak to our hearts. Lord, we know that unless you come and speak, we just kind of waste our time. We can say a lot of things, but Lord, ultimately, we're totally dependent on you. So would you please come, fill us with your Holy Spirit, and speak through me, and help us all have teachable spirits and listening ears so that we can grow to be more like Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, I want to read three verses of Scripture to you here. They're very short. All three of them are very short. Two of them from the Old Testament, one of them from the New Testament. And I think you'll figure out what these verses are all about when I read it. So the first one's from Nehemiah. Nehemiah, and the words are simply this: the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Here's the second one. This is from Proverbs. Chapter 17, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. And then one more, this is in the New Testament, Philippians chapter 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice in the Lord always. So there are three little verses. The joy of the Lord is your strength. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. And rejoice in the Lord always. Now, I want us to meditate on that a little bit, but I want us to think about this first. I think we'd all agree that we live in a world that unfortunately and sadly is pretty messed up. We really do. The world is not... I mean, I know there's a lot of beauty out there that God created. He created the beautiful mountains and trees and flowers and birds, and we still get to enjoy that beauty. But because of something Adam did in Genesis chapter 3... he sinned. He chose to rebel against God, and he chose to sin against God. And when he did, everything changed. The world that was perfect up till that moment suddenly, dramatically, was changed until finally Jesus is going to come back and make it all right again when he comes a second time. And the whole creation, the Bible says, is groaning to be relieved, to be delivered, like we're going to be delivered when he gives us those new bodies. And so we look around right now and we realize things are kind of messed up. Sometimes we'll call it the Genesis 3 world. It's a Genesis 3 world we live in because of what happened in Genesis 3 when Adam sinned and the fall of man and the fall of the world came. So we live in it. And when we look around, we see these consequences. We see sickness. We see bodies wearing out. We have bodies that are wearing out, right? We see sickness. We see pain. We see weakness. Not just that. We see maybe our kids or our grandkids sometimes making really bad decisions, sinning against God sometimes, and then having to live with the consequences of it. Maybe we're living with consequences of our own sin. You know, that's part of this world we live in. And it's tragic. You know, there are people who die. You know, there are people who suffer and die. We're all going to suffer and die, right? That's part of it. And you hear about tragic accidental deaths, you know, from time to time. We hear about people being murdered, you know, like the poor little children up there in Connecticut not too long ago. You know, it's a horrible thing when you think about all the effects of sin in the world that we're having to live with right now. So when we look at all that bad stuff, it's easy for us to forget the verses I just read. You know, those three verses, it's easy for us to forget those things. So how do we get past that? How do we deal with the sad stuff and still remember the joy of the Lord and still have the merry heart and still rejoice in the Lord always? Well, I think the key is where our focus is. The key is our focus. And think about what I just read there. Nehemiah did not say, are you listening? Nehemiah did not say, joy is your strength. That's not what he said, is it? He said, the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And Paul didn't say to the Philippians, just rejoice always. What did he say? You remember? He said, rejoice in the Lord. You remember? You hear it? Rejoice in the Lord always. Not just rejoice, but rejoice in the Lord. Now, obviously, we can't ignore our problems that are around us. You can't do it. You can't just pretend they're not there. They're real. And they come from all kinds of problems. Ultimately, they came from sin. It may not have been our sin, but somebody's sin. It's Adam's sin. Somewhere, you know, this started this whole mess. But when we think about the bad stuff, we can't just stop there. We can't. We can look at our weakness. We can look at our sickness. We can look at our troubles. But then we've got to lift our focus and see God. We've got to do that and see what God said in His Word. There was a man named Francis Schaeffer. He's been dead for several years, but he wrote some books that I really liked a few decades ago. And one of his books was titled, I love this title, The God Who Is There. The God Who Is There. That's God. God is always here. He's not going to leave us. We talked about that last time I was here. He called another book, He is There and He's Not Silent. He's there and He's not silent. He speaks to us through His Word. God is alive. God is still in charge. And we have to focus on this God who is here. You see, we got to focus on Him, not just the problems. And we got to remind ourselves, Lord, I know You've got all this under control. Even when I'm hurting, even when I'm weak, You've got it all under control. And eventually, You're going to make everything right. Eventually, everything's going to be right. We're going to be having new resurrected bodies. No more tears, no more pain, no more suffering, no more sickness, no more death. He's going to make everything right. He promised that, and we can count on it, because Jesus rose again from the dead. He didn't stay dead. He conquered death, and so He's conquered all this junk too. And so we praise Him. And you know, it might help us to remember Paul's circumstances when he wrote those words to the Philippians. You remember that? He said, rejoice in the Lord always. You know where Paul was when he wrote that? You know where he was? Yeah, he had been under arrest in Rome. He wasn't free to come to these Philippians and say it with his mouth. He couldn't just tell them because they wouldn't let him go. He was in prison. He was captured by Rome up there. Now at that particular time he was finally released, but later on he was captured and beheaded. And he didn't know exactly how long he was going to live. God told him he'd live to get to Rome. Well, he's at Rome now. So he didn't know how much longer he was going to get to live. But he wasn't free to visit them. And yet he's saying, rejoice in the Lord always. Do you remember what happened to Paul when he went to the city of Philippi? You see, that's who he's writing to, these Philippians. Do you remember what happened to him? That he preached the gospel and people got so angry that they wound up throwing him in a dungeon. You remember that Philippian jail? It was a horrible place. They put him in stocks so they couldn't move. You know, he and Silas were there in that dungeon. You remember what they were doing in the middle of the night? You remember? Yeah, they were praising the Lord. They were singing. They were singing. And yet, the circumstances were awful. You think, wow, you ought to be griping, Paul. You ought to be complaining. You ought to be thinking about all this bad stuff. He said, no, I know this bad stuff's happening, but my focus is on Jesus. And he's going to praise Jesus in spite of the bad stuff. You can read all that in Acts chapter 16. But he's full of joy. And he's encouraging them and us to be full of joy. And how do we do it? We keep our perspective. Let me share another verse with you. Paul told the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 15, he said, you know, if it wasn't for one thing, we would be totally miserable. If it wasn't for one thing, we would be most miserable. What's the one thing? Well, listen, I'm going to read it, 1 Corinthians 15, 17. He says, if Christ is not raised, your faith is in vain, useless. You are yet in your sins, and they who are fallen asleep, those who have already died in Christ, are perished. They're just dead. He said, if in this life only we have hope in Christ. You hear that? Listen. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. You hear that? He says, if all we've got is this life, it's pretty miserable. But listen, the last part of that, he says, but now Christ is risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them who slept. He conquered death, and he said, therefore we're not miserable. We got the joy of the Lord. That's what we, because of Jesus, because of the resurrection of Jesus. But when we get our eyes off Him, when we get our eyes on this stuff, if we reject God, if we reject God's truth, then we'll wind up depressed and miserable and joyless. You know, there are people, I bet you know some of these people, I bet some of them are in this building, who don't seem to have any joy. You know, they're depressed. Why? Because they got their eyes off Jesus. They got their eyes on their problems, and they've lost their joy. And there's so many people, they're full of bitterness, they're full of misery, they don't have any joy. Life doesn't seem fair to them. That's probably true. Life isn't fair. It never is. But they forget, this is not what it's all about. It's all about Jesus. It's not about me feeling good. It's about Jesus. So I want to keep my focus on Him. And when I do that, He begins to fill me with His joy. And I tell you something else I feel like I need to say. We live in an age of television and movies and fiction, you know, fiction. And in the world of fiction, anything goes. You know, we can watch something on TV where all these people are living in sin. You know, maybe they're being immoral and committing adultery and getting drunk and all this other stuff. And yet, somehow they seem to be so noble, and sometimes they come out just fine and happy and everything's good, and they seem to be full of joy. But the key word there is it's fiction. It's fiction. We can watch beer commercials. You ever seen these beer commercials on TV? And everybody's just going, yay, man, we're having the blast. We're having a wonderful time, and they're all excited and they seem to be so happy. It's fiction. It's fiction. Yeah, there's a little temporary happiness sometimes in that stuff, but ultimately, meaninglessness, despair, discouragement, despondency, it's a pretty horrible thing. And that's what sin brings. Now, some of them put on a happy face and they'll smile, but ultimately, there's nothing but misery for the consequences of sin. Eventually, it catches up. That's why God said in Galatians chapter 6, don't be deceived. Don't be deceived now. He said, God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. If we sow to the flesh, we'll of the flesh reap corruption. But he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. That's God's promise. We do reap what we sow, and people will reap. So don't be deceived by that imaginary world. That's just an imaginary world. That's fiction. The real world is in Jesus. So if you're looking for really happy people, if you're really looking for people that have joy, have this deep sense of overflowing joy, look for people that are walking with Jesus. They may be hurting a lot. They may be weak. They may not be very strong at all. But they got this joy bubbling up. Why? Because they know Jesus is with them and He's not going to leave them. And they're walking with Jesus, just keeping their eyes on Him. And that's what we've got to do. We've got to keep our eyes on Him. Yeah, look at the problems. They're there. They're real. And then keep our gaze, our focus on Jesus instead of the problems. That's a key. These are people who've begun to understand what Paul said when he said to the Romans, not only this, but we glory or rejoice or exult in tribulations. How can he say that? Because he knows what it's doing. He knows it's accomplishing something good. Listen to this verse in Romans chapter 8. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? That's bad stuff. Shall tribulation? Or distress? Or persecution? That's bad stuff. Or famine? Nothing to eat? Nakedness? Danger? Or sword? They were killing Christians with a sword. He says, as it's written, for your sake we're being killed all day long. We're regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. But then listen to this verse. Awesome verse. No, he says, in all these things and all this bad stuff, we are more than conquerors. Not just conquerors, but more than conquerors. Overwhelming conquerors through Him who loved us. It's an awesome verse. Jesus said, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be glad. Did you hear that? Rejoice, be glad. That's what Jesus said. Because your reward is great in heaven. He said, they persecuted the prophets who were before you the same way. You remember when Peter and the disciples were threatened after Jesus had risen and they were preaching the good news? And the Sanhedrin didn't like it. And they said, stop it. And they said, well, you know, you got to judge. We got to obey either God or men. You decide what we should do, but we're going to have to obey God. And they wouldn't stop it. And the Bible says those guys, then Sanhedrin, had them beaten. They were beaten. That didn't feel good. That must have hurt. They must have thought, whoa, this is pretty bad. And it was pretty bad. But you know what the Bible says? It says they left the presence of the council rejoicing. There it is again. Rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name of Christ. It's amazing. It's amazing. And so James says, count it all joy, brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know the testing of your faith is producing something. Steadfastness. Patience. And Peter said, even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you'll be blessed. Have no fear of them. Don't be troubled. And the Bible goes on and on and on and on and on with verses just like that. And so when we begin to wrap our minds around the fact and our hearts, not just our minds, but our hearts, of the hope we have in Jesus, and we realize He's going to take us through every trial, I don't care how severe, we'll finally have a final trial, and it will lead to our death, and we're all going to go through it. And when we get that in our minds, that He's not going to leave us, and one day after that, we're going to be living with Him and working with Him in a kingdom that's going to be glorious beyond our wildest imaginations. It's going to be so much fun. We're going to have energy again. Those of you in wheelchairs are not going to be in those things anymore. We're going to run, you know, and not be weary. We're going to mount up with wings like eagles. You know, it's going to be an awesome time. So that joy will never be quenched there, that's for sure. That's for sure. So we might as well start enjoying it right now. Now let me ask one more question. Can we grieve and rejoice at the same time? Of course we can. Of course we can. Some of us grieve. We shed tears. But we're still rejoicing. It happens all the time. Because in Jesus, that grief gets swallowed up in joy. So Lord Jesus, thank You so much for dying on the cross. What a hideous, horrible, painful death You went through. And yet You rejoiced in it because You conquered death through the cross. You conquered our enemy Satan through the cross. You conquered sickness. You conquered all the bad stuff, the curse of sin. And when You endured the wrath of God on the cross and then went to the tomb and then rose again, proving that You'd conquered death and hell and Satan forever. Lord, we thank You so much for the victory we have in Jesus. So Lord, would You help us never, ever, ever to lose the joy that You and You alone can give. And may we remember that Your joy really is our strength, and that we can rejoice in You forevermore, and that that merry heart You give us will do us good like a medicine if we'll just keep our focus on You. Lord, help us to do that. Help us to look at our problems and realize, yes, they're real, but then get our focus on You so that we can draw Your strength and Your joy from now on into eternity. And we'll give You praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.